the House has impeached President Trump for incitement of insurrection.
On this vote, the ayes are 232, the nays are 197. The resolution is adopted. Without objection, the motion to reconsider is laid upon the table.
And Iran is getting closer to developing its own nuclear weapons. Plus, will we be seeing more stimulus checks in the mail? It's Wednesday, January 13th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Here's what's news. We'll have more on today's historic impeachment vote in the House later in the show. First, these headlines. The Wall Street Journal has learned that Iran has taken a significant step toward possible nuclear weapons production. Lawrence Norman, our deputy bureau chief in Brussels, has the details.
So Iran has been taking a series of steps in recent months in breach of the 2015 nuclear deal. What we have learned today is that the UN Atomic Agency has said that Iran is also taking the first steps to work that could eventually produce uranium metal, which is a material that is used in the core of a nuclear weapon. Now, there could be a long process before Iran eventually produces uranium metal. It's not clear how long that will take. Iran has not told the UN Atomic Agency how quickly it plans to move. But once and if Iran produces uranium metal, it will be a warning flag that Iran is, for the first time in years, considering nuclear weapons work rather than general nuclear work that can be used for a civilian peaceful purpose.
President-elect Joe Biden has said he wants to resume diplomacy with Iran and return to the 2015 nuclear accord the U.S. pulled out of under the Trump administration. But that could be complicated and face stiff opposition. Western diplomats say Iran is trying to put pressure on Biden to quickly remove sanctions on the country and return to the accord without any conditions.
It is widely believed that they are making this threat to make it clear to the Biden administration as they take office that if they don't speedily return to the deal, Iran is willing to raise the stakes and present them with a major, major problem in terms of Iran's nuclear work.
We report that the U.S. will not ban Americans from investing in Chinese tech giants Alibaba, Tencent Holdings, and Baidu. Officials had been weighing the company's alleged ties to China's military against the potential economic impact of banning them. People familiar with the matter say the U.S. no longer plans to include them on the Defense Department list that would bar Americans from investing in them. And in a surprise move, Intel has ousted its chief executive Bob Swan and named VMware chief Pat Gelsinger as his successor. The move comes after the hedge fund Third Point called for sweeping change at Intel after a year in which Intel was overtaken as America's most valuable semiconductor company by NVIDIA. Shares of Intel ended the day up nearly 7%. Coming up after the break, Democrats and some Republicans in the House vote to impeach President Trump for a second time. We'll have more from inside the Capitol.
ADP knows anything you hear, anything you don't hear, anything you kinda heard, anything you weren't supposed to hear and now have to pretend like you didn't, can change the world of work. From HR to payroll, ADP designs forward-thinking solutions to take on the next anything.
An historic day in Washington as the House voted 232 to 197 to impeach President Trump. He's the first president to be impeached twice.
Article of impeachment exhibited by the House of Representatives of the United States of America in the name of itself and of the people of the United States of America against Donald John Trump, President of the United States of America, in maintenance and support of its impeachment against him for high crimes and misdemeanors. Article 1, incitement of insurrection.
10 Republicans joined all Democrats in approving an article of impeachment alleging that he encouraged a violent mob to storm the U.S. Capitol last week as part of an effort to overturn President-elect Joe Biden's win. Today, as the proceedings were ongoing, President Trump released a statement calling for Americans to, quote, help ease tensions and calm tempers. He also said violence and vandalism are not what he or America stands for. President Trump has denied any wrongdoing or that he incited violent riots. But even many members of his own party have said, including including today on the House floor, that he bears responsibility. Joining me now is Wall Street Journal Executive Washington Editor Jerry Seib. Hi, Jerry. Thanks for being here.
Really happy to be with you.
So, Jerry, this is an historic moment. The first time a U.S. president has been impeached twice. Let's talk about the mood at the Capitol today. Here's House Speaker Nancy Pelosi laying out the case for impeachment.
We know that the president of the United States incited this insurrection, this armed rebellion against our common country. He must go. He is a clear and present danger to the nation that we all love.
We also heard a lot of impassioned speeches during the debate. Jerry, what moment struck you?
Well, I think certainly Speaker Pelosi's speech was dramatic because she spoke the words that are kind of in the background here, clear and present danger. The idea being that simply having the President of the United States in office for one more week was in and of itself dangerous. That is one of the arguments some Democrats made. She made it as forcefully as anybody did, and that made it a very dramatic moment. Others made less dramatic arguments that essentially said, we just need to make the precedent here that we're not going to tolerate this sort of thing. She said the country's in danger for the next week, and that certainly was a moment. I think it was also noteworthy that Democrats basically made no apologies for trying to impeach Donald Trump twice, which is to say they didn't attempt to answer the Republicans' charge that this basically shows you're guilty of Trump derangement syndrome. You just can't let it go. They simply charged ahead anyway. And that question of what their motivation was left for Republicans to define on their terms and Democrats to define on their terms.
Let's talk about Republicans. A big difference from the first time the House impeached President Trump just about a year ago. Several Republicans this time joining Democrats. Here's Representative Dan Newhouse.
We must all do better. These articles of impeachment are flawed. But I will not use process as an excuse. There is no excuse for President Trump's actions. The president took an oath to defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Last week, there was a domestic threat at the door of the Capitol, and he did nothing to stop it. That is why, with a heavy heart and clear resolve, I will vote yes on these articles of impeachment.
And Senate Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy said the president did bear responsibility, but voted against impeachment.
He should have immediately denounced the mob when he saw what was unfolding. These facts require immediate action by President Trump. Accept his share of responsibility, quell the brewing unrest, and ensure President-elect Biden is able to successfully begin his term. And the president's immediate action also deserves congressional action, which is why I think a fact-finding commission and a censure resolution would be prudent. Unfortunately, that is not where we are today.
Jerry, clearly a division among Republicans. What did you make of their response?
A lot of divisions among Republicans, really, in terms of how they frame their opposition to the impeachment. Not necessarily in opposing it, but very varied responses to why. Except for Congressman Newhouse, who we just heard from, that was a surprise. He had not said previously that he was going to vote in favor of impeachment. And he basically embraced the argument that other Republicans were making, which is that this is a flawed and rushed process. And then dismissed it by saying, yes, it's a flawed process, but that's not an excuse for what the president did. That was a very dramatic moment in which he didn't dispute that there was a problem with this process, but said the outcome was more important. That took on, in a way, an argument his own fellow Republicans were making and set it aside. I thought the remarks by Congressman McCarthy, who's the top Republican in the House, were noteworthy because he did not attempt to rationalize or explain away or justify the way President Trump handled the protests last week that produced the mob violence that is the reason we're having this conversation in the first place. Beyond that, I thought the Republican comments were noteworthy because they took very different approaches. Some people said the president did nothing wrong. He said that the march should be peaceful. I don't know what you are all talking about when you say that's incitement to riot and an impeachable act. Others said, maybe the president did that, but you Democrats have done the same thing over and over in the last several years, particularly this summer during the summer protests around the killing of George Floyd and other racial reckoning moments. You glorified violence then. How can you now say that's a crime and an impeachable offense? You're as guilty as he is. And still other Republicans said the president deserves to be impeached, but not with a few days left in his term. That's ridiculous. It's a misuse of the impeachment power simply for political purposes. So there was not one Republican argument against impeachment. There were multiple Republican arguments against impeachment. And in a few cases, and this is obviously noteworthy, Republicans who said, you know, you're right, we should go ahead and do this.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has said he will not reconvene the Senate before it's scheduled to return on the 19th, just a day before the inauguration of President-elect Joe Biden. That means any Senate impeachment trial would take effect during Biden's term. Jerry, how does that play out? What happens next?
The House can impeach a president and then hold on to the articles of impeachment and send them to the Senate whenever the House chooses to, or never, frankly. There is an option in which you impeach the president in the House and you never send those impeachment articles to the Senate, where the impeachment actually is then put to a trial. What Democrats have been talking about is delaying sending them to the Senate, perhaps for 100 days, so that President-elect Biden's term can get off to a start without this hanging over every single day and every hour of every day. That would push it deep into the Biden presidency, maybe 100 days into the Biden presidency, and would raise an interesting question of whether it's even constitutionally allowable for a Congress, a Senate, to try and vote and perhaps convict a president who's already left office. What would the point of that be? Well, there would be two points. One would be, from the Democrats' point of view, setting the precedent, making the statement that what President Trump did was so beyond the pale that it has to be punished, even if the practical effects are limited. But then what Democrats would probably do in the Senate is hold a second vote that would explicitly say, as a result of his conviction here, Donald J. Trump is not eligible to serve in federal office again in his lifetime. That would be an attempt to make sure he doesn't run for re-election or election again in 2024. That would be the most obvious and maybe the only real practical impact. And that would only happen if this does go to the Senate. It is not at all clear when that might happen. It could happen immediately. It could happen in a bit. And it could happen way down the road, or it could happen never. We are in uncharted waters here.
That's Wall Street Journal Executive Washington Editor Jerry Seib. Jerry, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
And finally, tomorrow, President-elect Joe Biden is expected to propose a new economic relief package that he says will be trillions of dollars. Democrats have called for additional direct payments to Americans. But our tax policy reporter Richard Rubin says the party's narrow majorities in Congress could make it hard to pass a large aid package quickly.
I think what we may see, though, is there is, of course, Republican support for bumping up those $600 checks to $2,000. You've seen it from Senator Rubio and from some others. And so what everyone is signaling now is that the Biden administration will take a run at doing something bipartisan, at seeing whether it's checks only, checks plus some other stuff, but something that is big and bipartisan first to see if they can get that.
We'll have more on Biden's stimulus plan tomorrow morning. And for a look at how it could affect your wallet, check out tomorrow's episode of our personal finance show, Your Money Briefing, wherever you get your podcasts. And that's what's news for this Wednesday afternoon. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.